96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to
located
life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Law court and everything, Marsha. You don't even get a job. But don't worry about that, though. I get one platinum hustle, daddy. Watch this one.
We get that money on the grind. That money on the grind. Boy, you can make a hustle without keys or the pounds. That money on the grind. That money on the grind. You just take your time. People like and break it down.
Every day I wake and I bake and then I pray. Thanking the creator for another blessed day. Job, but he's giving me a way to keep a little sanity and hustle up the pay. Hey, 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 every day, hey.
I see coconuts, I slowing down. Cause I's a tart man and that's my money on the grind. You get some other people them who walking round with bottles inside the trolley or the bag or they hand. So drink your Guinness, they wait until you finish. They get 250, get cage for some bottles with nothing in it.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. It's October 23rd and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Neary and I shall be your host today. Actually, every time I walk around the street, I look on the ground and I wonder how I can make some money from that thing they're laying on the ground. Today, I have a special guest who has made a career from making profit, making money, making things, being an entrepreneur from just looking at ordinary things, just laying on the ground. Opportunity is what she talks about. She's saying that Bahamas has a lot of opportunities, all kind of things Bahamians can make money from, right? She's an expert of just taking an ordinary thing and making something beautiful with it. She's one of our premier orange economy experts. She's one of our premier creatives inside of Bahamas. And I'm saying, man, not everybody is creative, no. How is it that I can make money just by seeing a coconut shell, just by seeing a conch shell, just by seeing plants and tree bark and sand? Is that possible? And you say, yeah. Today, I actually have Yvette Roll, who I'm bringing to the conversation, but I'm going to bring in Erin Green in first. So we can just batter back and forth. So Miss Roll, who's our expert guest, can listen in and join in and put in her expertise on what it is. How can I make money? Earlier, that song that we were playing was by Baygon.
Yeah, The Tart Man.
The Tart Man.
Money on the Ground.
Name Money on the Ground was a hit song in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
Why you say it like 1990? Don't say it like that, the 90s.
You old.
No, that sound old. I ain't.
You just old, right? And I just want to bring that back because it's apparently there's opportunities that we need to take advantage of. So what say you, Erin?
I say, I thank you for inviting me into the show this morning, because when we talk about expertise, every idea I tell this woman I waking on in this season right now, this creative season, she showed me a picture of what she already did with it. Yes. Y'all out here just making tea with Madeira bark.
Yeah.
Don't know Madeira bark is mahogany.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all, you know, you didn't know that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm excited, especially because last week we had an announcement from the Bahamas Bureau of Standards and Quality, right? And the article I found it in is titled Made in the Bahamas Certification to Boost Exports,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm really excited about this conversation because I think we have a person here that we could talk about made in the Bahamas. The article starts, the new Made in the Bahamas certification is being hailed as a transformative milestone that will boost economic value and quality in products for export. The Made in the Bahamas certification is designed to elevate the standards and marketability of Bahamian manufactured goods on both local and global scales. This certification assures that products meet rigorous quality and sustainability criteria, enhancing consumer confidence and promoting the Bahamas as a top source of high-quality, authentic products. Full stop right there. And so, good morning, Ms. Newey, ready to bring in the guest?
Let's bring in Ms. Rowe. Ms. Yvette Rowe, without any further ado, I want you to give a brief summary of your career, your opportunity of why you became a creative. What does it mean to be a creative to you, right? How long you've been doing this? That general synopsis of who you are.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what does Made in the Bahamas mean to you as a veteran and expert craft artisan?
Good morning, Bahamas. Thank you for having me. Made in the Bahamas means a lot because, like the sun said, money on the ground. When I first started coming back home as an interior designer and a project manager, I couldn't get a job and I had a child to feed. And I said, you know, it's time to find something to do. But craft was always my go-to. I started off with sand. I started off with the trunk of the banana tree. Started off with newspaper, fish bones. And I was giving this stuff away. And one day my baby said, you're always giving these things away. So you see how excited people be to take them? And she said, let's start selling them. And that's exactly what I did. I started selling them. We made mugs from sand, bowls from sand, jewelry from newspaper, bowls, bracelets, necklaces from fish bones, anything that's recyclable. And I said, you know, it's crazy that this was in front of us a long time, but we never paid attention to it. And so having traveled to work abroad, I worked in Brazil for a while, and I was like, my God, the things that we throw away are the things they make the most beautiful things from. Even the coconut tree, the palm tree, the trunks of it. My grandmother's from Cuba. So visiting Cuba several times, and I was like, Jesus, they don't waste anything. So we've put a lot of focus on the orange economy, but we're really what we call a linear economy. We just use and dispose. But we have not looked at the circular economy. So there are a lot of items that are found here naturally that we throw away or discard that can be recycled, upcycled, or turned into something else.
And you mentioned that, right? Because you call them recycled products. I call it garbage. Right? And you see value into what some people call garbage. Fishbone is something you throw away.
Mm-hmm.
But you, traveling, going to places like Cuba, going to places like, where is the next place?
Brazil.
Yeah. And you realize that their economy have created a recycle, what do you call it? That's like circular?
It's a circular economy.
Circular economy.
They reuse everything.
And they reuse everything. Whereas inside the Bahamas, we use it once.
And we throw it away.
Perhaps even twice. But definitely after that, we throw it away.
It's called a linear economy.
I mean, like you call it trash just now, right?
Garbage.
Right? I'm looking for the time when I'm serving a guest or a group of guests, a group of dinner, and I present to them their own personalized hand-carved group of toothpicks made from the group of bone, right? And when we get to the very high-end product, right? When we get to the very high-end product, your name will be carved, right? The miniature artwork will be carved into your set of group of toothpicks.
Well, let me upgrade your product while you're at it.
Yes, ma'am.
A sturdier bone is the tarpon fish bone. They also make beautiful hairpins, hair clips.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the Miss World some 40 years ago, Lady Darling gave me a pair of earrings made from the tarpon fish scale.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beautiful. I got some beautiful necklaces from Africa. And they were gorgeous. And I wasn't into craft like this back then. But looking back at the places that I've traveled and to see what they even bleach bottle. They turn them into beautiful planters and they paint faces on them. They attach them to their trees.
Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about you traveling and what you've seen,
mm-hmm.
right? Because a number of Bahamians are not exposed. right? Mm-hmm. We see a bleach bottle and say, that's garbage. You mm-hmm. All you can do is recycle it so it doesn't destroy the environment.
Tote water.
Tote water. For the beach. For the beach or whatever it is, or the scrub. But in your travel, mm-hmm. you realize that the creatives in South America, mm-hmm. right, especially the Hispanic creatives, mm-hmm. their artisans have gone to a different level. What have you seen when you traveled?
Well, when you look at the plastic on the whole, Africa recycles the plastic and they add it to the tar. But they tar their roads there so mm-hmm. the roads don't fall apart so easily and drop in holes, like we call them. Mm-hmm. They also make bricks that they pave their roads with. And it's just shredded plastic mm-hmm. That they add. But once it's heated, you know, it solidifies. It's a sturdy product. They also use it in construction.
Mm-hmm. We could be using it as a part of our tourism product, less safety requirements. We could be making pavers for pathways to the beach. Simple as that, colored and designed.
Yes. So there are so many things that we call, I remember I worked at a bank and Thursdays, I used to have the horrors when they come for the shredded paper because I was like, Jesus, you know, most things could be made with that shredded paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to volunteer at Bahamas Academy to teach the kids art for the BGCSEs. And all my kids passed with A's and B's because we told them, just bring something. And she said, tell them children don't come to class, hardly they interested. She was like, girl, what you do to them? They come to school before time. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to go home 3 o'clock. Everybody wants to stay. She's saying he's always crowded. It was because we made them excited about creating something. So they thought they were bringing something to turn the class upside down. Say, she can holler when she see this. No, they holler when I showed them what they could do with it.
Mm-hmm. For instance, remember the plastic bag ban? Remember when we used to live with plastic bags? Do you know what we could have been doing with them? You could take the plastic bags, clean them, dry them, lay them together. So you put 5 bags on top of each mm-hmm. other in between 2 towels. Mm-hmm. And then you iron that. Mm-hmm. And it hardens the plastic. And mm-hmm. now you've made a mat for your car for when you take them children to the beach and then mm-hmm. you bring all that sand mm-hmm. in your car.
And my neighbor crochets the plastic bags to make beautiful handbags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when we're sitting back looking at all that garbage, it doesn't have to be garbage. Because mm-hmm. their bottles can be turned into candle holders. They can be turned into glasses. You have places like Jamaica have something called Jampro. They have engineers. They have chemists. Everybody works there to look at everything on the face of Jamaica that they can turn into a product. And these same products we can turn by to try sell them here when we have the same capabilities.
Ms. Roy, I want to stop you there and forgive me because I know you're telling a story that needs to be heard. Mm-hmm. You said Jamaica have chemists and physicists who helps develop these items.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, what is stopping us from doing the same thing? So it makes it seem as if we don't have any chemists or specialists who can look at a product and say, I see it in the future.
I think people are just afraid of rejection because that happens first before acceptance, unfortunately. But when you look at the trunk of the banana tree, Africa, Korea, and Jamaica, they make a fabric out of it. I fused 32 pieces of that trunk after it was dried. It's laborious trying to take it apart after it's dried to make it look like one complete piece. And I was really excited about it. We have a lady in, and I think they said she's a Bahamian in London. She's using the fibers from the pineapple plant. It's called pinion leather.
Mm-hmm.
We have Denise Dorset. She works at Inland Revenue. She studied textile manufacturing in China, but she's working at Inland Revenue. So there are a lot of things that fabrics or what we call disposables can be reconverted into something else. We have a lot of chemists here, a lot of engineers, but we need to show them that it's accepted and that it's a viable business. And then sometimes people are not open to you showing them how to finish off a product.
Mm.
To get an idea and that's it. But the product isn't finished to the point where you want to take it to an international market. One point, Germany was looking for Bahamian products, but they wanted something around $2. But what was produced at that time was totally unacceptable. And we have all these islands. People don't have to come to Nassau for a job. My jewelry that I'm wearing, it is
sourcing.
Sand.
Nice, because high-end jewelry you wear.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that's oil sand?
It's sand.
Was that made here in the Bahamas?
It was made by me. This is sand out of Abaco.
Nice.
Thank you.
This looks like something from France, high-end product.
Think about the series now, right? Mm-hmm. Because think about the Bahamian woman who is like, look here, y'all could go fly to Paris or France. I need a piece of jewelry made of sand from every island in the archipelago. Mm-hmm. This is my Inagua piece. This is my Miguana piece. Mm-hmm. This is my New Providence piece. Mm-hmm. This is my All Andres piece, because it's three parts and it breaks down. Mm-hmm. So you could say this North Andres, Mangrove Key, and South Andres,
exactly,
right? Yes,
exactly,
ma'am.
So the coasters that we make, we use sand from the different islands and keys. People just come and bring a bottle of sand, and you know, you find that the South Beach sand is golden. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You find that the sand...
Realtors, you didn't hear that.
So there's different type of sand in the Bahamas?
How you mean? And different colors, different hues. It's so beautiful. I went to a place in Orange Creek in Cat Island, and the sand was really shocking pink. And then I went to the north side in Dumfries, and it was chunky.
And I bet you somewhere on Miguana, there's black sand. Somewhere on Miguana, there got to be some black sand with all that lava they got, man.
Hello. And you see... Because it's so close to Cuba, so their color, their sand, the texture and the color is very different. Mm-hmm. But even the sand they use to do commercial buildings that comes out of the Dominican Republic, it's heavy grade. It's like a granite sand. Mm-hmm. We have it here on the different islands. I found it out Yamacraw. That's on the picture I showed you with the vase. That sand came off of Yamacraw. And so there's so many different things that you can make from sand. We don't have to just look at glass. Okay, but when we look at the amount of vast bottles we have from Kalik and all the wine bottles, lamps, hurricane lamps,
and sea glass, right? Like yes, you want the sea glass to be weathered naturally over decades and decades, but at some point you get yourself a little tumbler.
A tumbler.
You collect the glass from the sea area, and you say you know sourced by the sea. Mm-hmm. Sourced as a part of an eco program, and it adds a degree of specialness and uniqueness to it.
And we talked to Ms. Yvette Rowell, who's a specialist now in terms of recycling. I think, I forget the term.
Upcycling.
The term that you use when you're in the Bahamas, we tend to be linear, then you said.
We're a circular economy.
Circular economy. Yeah, I've never heard the word circular economy before.
Never?
No.
Because I just watched the money just move in a circle from one place in hand right back to them.
Circular economy. Yvette, the other day I was in Adelaide, right, to a beach picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking that beach, and I see we have a caller here. We can get that caller come to you soon, caller. I was walking the beach. And this beach on Adelaide was loaded with, what's that sponge thing? Sponge.
Sponge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, the whole beach was littered with sponges.
Sponge?
So I said, let me pick them up to see how much I could collect.
Mm-hmm.
As I traversed the beach for about 20, 30 minutes, I collected about 60 pounds of sponges.
Wow.
And I put all of them inside, and I said, for someone whoever would want it, I put all of them in a pile. Right, and the pile was so big it took like several yards worth of sponges that I packed up, and I'm saying, do Bahamians use sponge anymore? Because this is to me is garbage. This garbage sponge, right? Because I can't use it. I don't know what to use it for. And my question to you is, you mentioned that we have chemists and people here in the Bahamas who are doing this circular economy and participating in it, right? But there are so many Bahamians who just don't know. How is it they cannot, like me, cannot see value in the old sponge? They cannot see value in the broken glass. They cannot see value in the sand. What is stopping us, and how do we get exposed to say, okay, I want to do that too?
Well, unfortunately, everybody wants a white-collar job, and we say, oh, that was then. But there was a young lady in Duro Beach that made the most beautiful soaps and bath salts. She used Bahamian sponge in her products. And there are several artisans that also use the natural Bahamian sponges in their products. When you scour the beaches on the different islands, especially after a hurricane, what you find is so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be made into beautiful, but it has to be taught in the schools from small. You learn to appreciate what it is that we have here naturally, but we seem to think that once it's imported, it's better.
Mm-hmm. Spatial awareness, to teach that so kids can see what's around them, mm-hmm. and understand the value. If I could also chime in, I think cultural imperialism is also a part of the reason, right? Because we've been convinced that sovereignty means you could buy whatever you want, as opposed to sovereignty means you're prepared to make whatever it is you want, right? That you value what it is you can create with what you have, and mm-hmm. you create what you value.
Okay, I'm sorry, Yvette. Let's go to this caller who's calling back and forth. But press up. Oh, she got the caller. Hang up. I was coming to you, caller. I was coming to you. Okay, there you go. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Well, we did something wrong, Aaron. Caller, can you hear us now? We trying, caller. It just didn't work.
Tried now.
Try, caller, can you hear me now? No. That caller, you have to call back on the next line and hopefully be able to connect you. The numbers are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Island, 242-300-5720. We're talking to Miss Yvette Roll, who is a specialist inside the Bahamas now, who does a circular pioneer in the circular economy. And she's saying that we have Bahamians who are taking advantage of the opportunities afforded to anyone who can see ordinary or disposable items and recycle it, right? And I was asking her earlier, why aren't a lot of Bahamians taking advantage of these opportunities? And she's saying that you have to be taught this from young. See, I wasn't exposed at this at a young age. I see a bleach bottle as garbage. My part in terms of recycling it is make sure it doesn't go down or throw outside. Right? That's my part. Mm-hmm. That's my dedication. Mm-hmm. In terms of the bear bottles, mm-hmm. my part is to return it to the recycling plant. Mm-hmm. Right? I thought that's as far as it goes. Right? But now you say no, it can go further.
It goes a lot further. Into lamps, glasses, candle holders. You have Kim DeVoe of Kim DeVoe Studios. She calls me Wada. Whenever I see Wada or a fallen tree, I call Kim and say, Kim, this is the location where I see the tree. Kim makes the most beautiful products. I mean, she started out making mugs, cups, stuff out of the bark of the coconut tree. I have a friend, Willa Mae Petty. Willa Mae makes the most beautiful napkin ring holders just from the cap of the coconut. And we fill the middle with the blossom from the coconut tree that has fallen.
Really?
Exactly.
And that works?
If it works, it's so gorgeous.
Okay, let me see if we get this caller. On April. Okay, caller. We had April just doing it for me. Thanks, April. We're going to call back again. But continue there, Ms. Roll. I wanted a person to engage you. That's why I keep on interrupting the conversation.
It's good to have an establishment. I presented a proposal 3 years ago, and they said, we'll call you next week, and they never did. So finally, somebody's doing it where they're now looking at certifying Bahamians and presenting a finished product and being able to have an authentic Bahamian product made in the Bahamas.
What do you mean by finished product? Because you said it a couple of times now.
Well, actually, okay. Sometimes you want to use Mod Podge. Mod Podge on straw work turns yellow after a short time. But if you use varnish, the straw maintains its color a lot longer. And if you use marine varnish, the product lasts even longer. So sometimes you have an idea, but there are certain things that you don't know. We like to use what we call paper mache. But insects love paper mache. Mm-hmm. So you have to add a little turpentine, we call it. You have to add different ingredients to it so it can repel. But mm-hmm. the paper mache is the first thing that the children come in contact with. Mm-hmm. Years ago, they had some huge fishes in the Nassau Beach Hotel in the ceiling. They were made from paper mache. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're made from fiberglass. And so the richest woman in China is rich because she recycles paper. And I remember years ago, I got some out of Cuba, and they were gorgeous. And I was shocked to find out that it was paper. So now that I'm doing this, I'm looking at all the places that I've been and all the things that were made from natural products. And mm-hmm. we can do it here. We have the people. They can make them in the jails. They can make them in the schools. They can make them in program sure. They can make them in mm-hmm. industrial schools, high schools, people who are just looking for a craft to start a business. It can be taught. but there's a lot more than it just looking good. It has to be functional.
Right, and it has to have a shelf life. You have
exactly.
to be able to preserve it. And then understanding the nature of the space, right? Like when you said, oh, all I see is trash, right? Because in cultural imperialism, if it's not large enough, right? Like I can't see myself building an empire with just two bottles mm-hmm. because recycled tons of bottles at one time. But you could start your empire small mm-hmm. with two bottles.
Exactly.
I can talk about this two bottles because I'm not sure if I could start that small, Aaron. Let's go to this caller first. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? I can hear you, caller.
Okay. Mr. Noe, how you doing?
Yes, just talk a little louder, but I can hear you.
Yeah, how you doing? First time caller. I always listen to you and Aaron, though.
Okay, I
appreciate
Blessings,
it. Thank you.
Yeah, he's one of them artists. Long-reaching artists. Mm-hmm. Money on the ground. I've been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to walk around. One of the first artists to make masks and things with the sculptures, doors with the sisal, make masks with the sisal. You know the sisal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to make big masks with the sisal. The coconut husk, the coconut cloth. I make masks and traces out of that. I sculpture boats of that.
Okay, so cousin, next year you're gonna have your Halloween line, right? So we could all be wearing your mask for Halloween, right?
I don't wear not them type mask.
What you mean? I want a Chikchani mask and a Yahoo mask.
My mask that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I just only be able to make them.
But let me ask you this.
They all over the world.
How can we as Bahamians help you get to the next level in terms of making a living? A profitable living selling your mask.
I used to make a living off that, but I still could do them now. But my eyes, I started to fall away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to make a living of them. They all over the world. Mm-hmm. I talk about masterpieces. I talk about just a mask like that.
But cousin,
I'm a well-known artist too.
We're trying to make. We have okay. And I get it, right? So when we talk about fine artisans, right? So there is a market globally and internationally for mm-hmm. fine artisans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not diminishing the value of what it is you do or the efficacy of it, right? But what I'm saying is in terms of making money with your art, right? You could have two levels of product. You have a high-end, fine-end product that displays in museums. I got to go to New York to see it, right? But then I want you to make a high-quality mask based on a local character like a Wahoo or Gollin, right? That you could sell to tourists, not as a cheap Halloween throwaway, but as a high-end souvenir, right? Because you got 9 million tourists come into the country every year, and during the Halloween season, the cruise line should partner with you to ensure as many guests as possible have the opportunity to purchase one of your masks. They could go home with a Chikchani, a Wahoo.
Exactly. We also have...
You might have seen one of them one time ago.
I believe I see it in the Bush and Andrews.
One is an abstract artist. I've been repeating abstract for years.
Okay.
You remember Cafe Johnny Cano?
Yeah.
Well, 80% of the work in there is my work.
Wow. What's your name is, cousin?
And all those dolls and stuff in there.
What's your name is?
Murphy.
First name?
Eustace.
Eustace.
Murphy. Okay.
That name's supposed to be known, Eustace?
Yeah. Well, we also have several art galleries.
Thank you very much, Murphy. Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. We have several galleries that would also take the work on consignment mostly because you have a lot of travelers that frequent our galleries. The National Art Gallery is very famous for using Bahamian products. They have a store there.
Mm-hmm.
You have Bahamar at the Current. They would also carry Bahamian. You have Dungalik on Village Road.
NAGB.
The Crab Cottage, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunities for Bahamians. We just need to know where to plug in.
Exactly. You know, we had a group called True True Bahamian that seems to have been dismantled, and they featured a lot of Bahamians.
Is that a part of the Creative Nassau space? Pam Burnside, Authentically Bahamian, True True Bahamian?
Pam has always done her own thing. I'm not sure, but Creative Nassau, not Creative Nassau, True True Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
That was, can't remember her name. But anyway, True True Bahamian was probably one of the biggest fairs that they had on this island because it only carried authentic Bahamian-made products, and they really need to bring that back. Mm-hmm. But there also has to be
institution
with people who know how these things are made and what it takes to take them to the next level, because even packaging is a problem. Even the product itself. I remember suggesting even to Ban Rob about the tomatoes in the bottle. I said, we only changed the bottle from the bare bottle to a mason jar. Add some natural Bahamian coconut oil, some thyme, some goat pepper.
Okay, we could bottle anything.
Well, we could bottle anything.
We could be bottling green beans. We could be bottling pickled onions.
Exactly. You heard about the mountain of onions that just dried up and rot in.
Yes, that's typical.
Right. And
every
so
year.
A lot of things don't have to waste. I've seen people pickle pumpkins. Watermelon rinds. They make candy out of pumpkins. Candies out of watermelon rinds. At one point, I did some coconut cake with different flavorings.
Right. Like, see, because if I was in Exuma and I knew people were selling salt to Canada, I would say, oh, you're going to be selling salt and all kinds of salt brined local vegetables as well, please, and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Pickled and salted. Mm-hmm.
Our government has partnered with various Bahamians to teach them craft, right? Especially in the handbag and straw, right? Is there any organization? I see I have a caller still on. Is there any organization where Bahamians who say, man, I'm working, I don't know what to do, but I'm willing to use my hand, but I don't know how to use my hand? Is there any organization say, go there, go learn that?
Well, hopefully now the authentic Bahamian would have that as a part of their program, where they can really teach Bahamians how. We thought BAIC was the place, or I don't know. But it's not just about the handbags. The handbags are really going scarce. The art of plaiting straw, only very few places you can find that now.
And there are tons, maybe scores and scores of different plaiting techniques.
Exactly.
And the truth is the skill is being lost.
It is. It is.
Okay, let's engage this next caller here who might want to engage you. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning, Ms. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green. And good morning, Ms. Rose.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Green, I appreciate the conversation that's going on today, but I have a unique situation, Ms. Rose. I discovered that I could create some things with the coconut shell, and as I started to make, the product just became endless, and I realized that it was greater than myself. And I have a problem with Ms. Rule, because I'm not one who likes to sell things. I'm not that kind of person. Like, I mean, I tried it once or twice, and I ended up basically giving away my stuff, because I'm not that kind of person who into selling things. I had a vision, Ms. Rule, where I wanted to create a body of work, and I wanted to have a museum set up where, because, I mean, I make some real unique work, Mom. I mean, they're one of a kind. You can't find them anywhere else in the Bahamas. And I wanted to have a museum. But also, Mom, I have enough stuff where as it could actually become an industry. And the only individual who, when they saw what I did, jumped up automatically and said, the government needs to have a conversation with you, is Ms. Ali McIntosh. And I'll always respect her, because she's an individual who I feel is truly concerned with the best interest of this country. And I've been to certain government places, Ms. Rose. And the last one I went to was the Tourism Development Corporation. I presented them with my business thing and everything else. I sat down with them, and they were really impressed with my ideas. And it seems as if, Mom, that the gentleman in there, I mean, not to go into much detail, but, like, they wanted to, like, you know, they were threatened by what I had in the way. But more or less, like, they kind of, like, wanted to take my things for themselves. Because I went there to help them develop my idea and my business. And they wanted me to be a mentor to some individuals. I didn't have a problem with that. But when I asked the gentleman, I said, okay, well, I want to develop myself so I can train individuals to develop an industry, because I see where this can go and employ hundreds, maybe thousands of individuals, and it's sustainable, because these items are, like you said, they're money in the ground, these things that you can find, because I make things from the coconut shell and the whale shell. And so the gentleman's response to me was that, okay, he wants me to train the people first. And when I train them, then we could probably just discuss development of my thing, because then they're going to form a company, and then they probably will want to probably, like, combine with me. So how would you want me to train people? And then when I train these people, you want to form a company so these people could, like, be a competition for me. The people don't have my skills now, but why don't you help me with my company So that when these individuals finish, they can come under me because I've already trained them and I have the vision for this thing. But instead, it seems as if what they want to do is they want to take your thing for themselves. You know, mm-hmm. the kind of way, Mom. And I think the biggest problem that individuals who have really big ideas that are greater than themselves, because they say if you have a vision that is not bigger than you, that you need help with, and it's not really a great vision. So when you go to the individuals who are supposed to help you, who are there to facilitate your ideas, and they fail you, the individuals in government, they discourage individuals who have big ideas, because not everybody wants to sit down and make the same repetitive thing over and over again. For me, that's boring. I like to take on a new challenge every day and create something new. And like I said before, Mom, I think the greatest problem we have in this country is the failure of individuals who sit in positions where they are supposed to facilitate individuals like myself. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they probably just give the money and the finances to individuals who they know, and it never materializes into anything.
Okay, you know, let me have a response to that. How can government assist?
Okay. Mm-hmm. He went with a product. He did not go with a business plan. BAIC and SDBC, they will help you create your business plan. It's okay to present a product, but you have no plan for your product. You just know you want them to sell it. You have no idea how much you need to get your product off the ground, how much manpower you need, how much financing, building, supplies, machinery, equipment, what's your market, how much you intend to produce, your costing. All of that can be done through BAIC or the SDBC. There are persons here who can help you with a business plan. If you don't have a business plan and you just have a product, yes, you will be faced with rejection. They should not have rejected it, mind you. But now you have a lot of people in place now who can assist.
I can stop you there. Because Cuba, they have no business plan, man. Brazil,
Hold on.
I see in Cuba, they had the Coca-Cola can.
Yeah.
Right? They pick it up, mm-hmm. and they go on the side of the street, they build a whole airplane with mm-hmm. the Coca-Cola can, mm-hmm. and they making enough money to sustain themselves. Their plan is to find the Coca-Cola can. That's the plan.
And
now you telling me in the Bahamas, I need a whole business. I can barely write. I don't understand the big words you're saying, and you want me to present a business plan.
You need things too.
That's my thing. That is blocking behemoths who just want to build.
Okay. But it speaks to what Ms. Rowland was talking about, right? The government is not the first place you go. This expectation that the government's supposed to do those parts of it. The government's job is to create an environment in which you can do the thing you want to do.
Well, there is a limited amount of training, and I remember growing up, I said, Jesus, these people travel the world every year, but they bring no new training or no new technology here.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that even the gifts that we give as gifts to other dignitaries, they're not Bahamian. Even the bag they put it in ain't Bahamian. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look at that whole picture because it's a whole industry. Mm-hmm. That people can, everybody's not academically inclined. Everybody doesn't want to sit in an office. Mm-hmm. But you find that if they have something to make, and you know, even in the classrooms, you see the excitement in their eyes. One parent said to me, she said, I never knew what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm. And as opposed to saying, oh, he can't read, or I can't read, so I can't do that, understand that doing this is the step that will take you to reading.
Exactly.
That will motivate you, help you understand right. why reading is the next step.
Right. But you have to be seen. You want persons to purchase it, and I think we have a problem with consignment. Because you have to scrap to get that money to make that product, and then somebody say, leave it here for 3 months.
Yeah, that ain't working for me either.
No. Mm-hmm. But yet, when you import your stuff, you have to pay for it. So we have a guy down in Acklands who's making conch shell bowls. He's not Bahamian. He's Cuban.
That ain't the same boy who was making lignum vitae 1-inch cubes to export for fine and high-end
He came in and found an industry. It shows that the industry exists.
Or like the guy who came here and bought some indigo plant seeds, and he and Kenya now make it indigo.
I won't talk about that.
Don't forget the guy who made the lamps on one of our keys that fidget in the front of Architectural Digest.
You all get me vexed. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break now. Let me speak to Miss Yvette Rowe.
And hold on, just before you go, and what happened to the people who used to make the hats out of the coconut frond, mm-hmm. and people would sail. See, merengue time, that's why we got to explore Gombe, because the things people would do to come to the Bahamas mm-hmm. during that period.
Mm-hmm. I just hearing y'all having foreigners coming here and capitalizing on our orange economy. And no one bringing in new technology say, hey, you can do this too. I want to know how to fix that. That's what I want to know. Call, I see you, but I have to talk to you on the next side of the break, because right now, sponge money never done. We can make money on sponge, because I leave all them sponge on Adelaide and just hoping someone see them. They put them in the pile for you.
Trust
just
me, someone saw them.
But I was on the beach. How come they see it when I was walking the beach?
Because you was on the beach. See, the way the things is, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about conk and imperialist struggle and how there's a great attention at stake while we're sitting here trying to decide what we could do with conch shell. The people in Asia importing conch from anywhere they could find it to put in their skin lightening cream, right?
That's why I talk about the chemists. What happened to our Bahamian chemists? And we'll be right back to this Guardian Radio AM. We talk about money on the ground, all kind of opportunities for Bahamians, just that we just don't know. Someone need to tell us that, here, you see that deal? Money and that.
Like how you need to know about Eustace McPhee. Eustace, why you was hiding your name so?
Stop hiding.
We got to get Eustace's number. Yes. We got to help Eustace.
We're going to be right back in a couple of seconds.
Yeah, man.
Go, boy, go down to the park. Go, boy, go, boy, get tourist money. Tourist money never done. Tourist money. Tourist money's a lot of fun. You got tourist money. Run, horse, run. Run, horse, run. Run, horse, run. Oh boy, you got racetrack money. Now you look on my tie, my tie was new. Racetrack money. Now you look on my hat was new. Racetrack money. Laugh, ya laugh. Laugh, ya laugh.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have Orange Economy Specialist. I keep on forgetting that. Circular Economy Specialist, pioneer inside the Bahamas, Miss Yvette Roll. And I have a caller who's been waiting, so let me go to the caller first, and then we'll continue our conversation. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. Okay, let's continue the conversation.
Right. So we're not going to get into conch and imperialist struggle right now. Here's a question for you. Let's get a list of the materials that you have produced with so far.
I've used sand, newspaper, bottles, conch shells, well, various different shells, wilt shells, the trunk of the banana tree, the Madeira bark, straw, sisal.
Banana, you say?
Yes, the trunk of the banana tree.
Okay. Right. Does banana tree produce a cloth like coconut produces a cloth?
No, you have to compress that trunk to get the water out of it. Mm-hmm. And you put it to dry, just like how you dry the sisal. Mm-hmm. unless you just let it the trunk dry naturally. And then you have to use a razor if you want that pattern, the banana skin pattern.
Ah, okay. Continue the list.
Right.
Yeah.
I said fish bones.
Mm-hmm. Scales?
Yes, we used to tap in fish scales.
Yeah.
Well, all types of fish scales. If you go to South Beach, there's a whole mountain of fish scales down there where they clean the fish down by Marshall Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can kind of we get the tarpon fish scales out of Inagua.
Mm-hmm.
We just try to use some of.
What about salt?
Well, the salt in the jewelry, you would have to use something we call liquid glass or a liquid epoxy, okay, because if water hits it, it changes color.
Right. One last thing. You was talking about Madeira bark.
Mm-hmm.
You work with Madeira bark.
I work with Madeira bark. We use those as the bracelets. We use them as the latches on clutches.
Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Calabash.
Mm-hmm.
Be working with calabash. Challenge.
Okay, I have some.
Exploit.
But it's not easily found in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I got two bottles from Lyford Hills. There's a place in the back of Lyford Hills, mm-hmm, that had a tree by their sales office. But I haven't seen much of it here.
Listen, if your land could grow calabash, take it on as a national duty. Like, mm-hmm, how I read the census and realized we need babies and I'm getting ready to sign up. Sign up and plant calabash trees, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me go to this caller so the caller can engage you. Kermit, let's patch the caller through for me, please. No, the caller. I mean, every time I try to get the caller opportunity, the caller gone, right? Like, looking again, see, nothing. Before we go, and I'm still waiting on that caller to call back, so make sure the caller has the opportunity to speak to you, right? There are a number of behemoths who I said are interested.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them feeling frustrated that I have a craft, I know what to do. Mm-hmm. They want to be plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke earlier about what's the duty and obligation of government. Mm-hmm. And then you say SBDC and BAIC. And I challenge you and say that some artisans just want to produce.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to produce and be able to get money from what they produce. And I also spoke about new technology, like Cuba do things completely different.
Yes.
Brazilian do yes, things completely different. Ghana do things completely
Colombia,
different.
Jamaica.
How do we learn new techniques instead of doing the same thing again and say, but we have a glutton of one particular type of way?
We have to form a team. I remember when we were island hopping looking for artisans on the different islands to form a catalog where you can get these things. That was several years ago on who's doing what on which island. We have to send our people out and train them because, like the bottles we throw away in Jamaica, they crush them and make beads. Africa, mm-hmm, they do the same thing. And so the different modes of upcycling, recycling, reinventing different things to make beautiful products that are made here in the Bahamas, mm-hmm, we have to send our people out, but they have to have an eye for it. You just can't give them a job. You either have a passion or not. There's no middle line in it.
You have to identify that in
exactly,
individuals before you
because,
send
you know, it. I look at the conch shell, it's very beautiful, but until you crack that conch shell and you look behind it, the beautiful array of hues, purple, mm-hmm, greens, golds, it is so beautiful to take them and just throw them in a foundation.
Okay, Yvette, let's see if we can get this caller now. Go ahead, caller. Can we get you this time?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui, Ms. Green, and to Ms. Rule.
Morning.
Lady Ms. Rule, is Brad Rule your brother? Did you grow up in Sunshine Park?
Yes.
Oh, all right, I know you very well then. Very, very well.
You have to tell who you are.
I don't want to say it on the radio, but I know very well. Enough respect, but listen, I wanted to get him because it's amazing that you mentioned Auckland. So he has something that I never told Nui and Aaron.
Yeah.
I lived on the Harness property in Spring Point, right?
Because you think he was our cousin.
Yeah, I used to go jogging, and I remember this is from the 80s, the beach there's a lot of disintegrated shells there. Like, the sand is actually pinkish, bluish, like, it has incorporated all of the disintegration from all of the seashells in that area. It was very unusual for me.
Sounds
because
beautiful.
I've never seen it like that before, and it's actually, like, when you jog in it, your foot becomes submerged, and it's thick. And it's very unusual. I don't know if she could send some. Maybe the Cuban guy saw that. So that's a fact-finding mission for you and Mr. Nui. And also, you would notice that Bahama actually grind up the conch shells and made like a decoration and run it around about.
Mm-hmm.
And we had carried this technology to Florida decades ago, and they would use it in cements, and you would see that in some of the houses in the inner city in Overtown area. So, you know, and along with coconut shells, there's a lot of multifaceted aspects of the coconut.
The dog right in North Andres.
But I want to say something quickly as to what C.A. Nui was saying. I kind of envision the Edmund Moxie program, like what they had by the Juma Village a long time ago, where inner city youths would be exposed to art and culture and craft. And it is a form of entrepreneurial skills, man. Because I remember being in sewers, going around that place there, watching all the different things made from Beeman product, I mean, Beeman resources and stuff, man. When are we going to get it together and see the potential, man? I mean, what do we deserve? Why? I see they put the thing there in the front of Super Value, but what I'm saying is there isn't anything there's no impetus to drive the youth them towards this thing there. I'd be talking about gang this and gang that. Give thanks.
Okay, thanks very much. I will leave the last word to you, Ms. Rowan. What do you recommend the Bahamas to do?
I think we need to put a serious team together that's prepared to roll up their sleeves and put on some tennis and, you know, go to these different islands to look at the natural products that are there. Bahamians used to buy tables out of Miami. They had this place called Would You. Had the most beautiful tables from tree roots. And you found that it can be done. There are a lot of things that are here. Put serious people to really look at the natural resources that are on tap. It's not just about salt and sand. Okay. We have a lot more to offer.
Thank you very much, Ms. Yvette Rowe. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. There's money on the ground. We can do this.